There's a Native American saying that we don't inherit the earth from our ancestors, rather, we borrow it from our children. Now, what does this mean? To me, this means that we are holding on to this earth only temporarily during our lifetimes, and we are going to hand it over to the rightful owners who are going to look after it for the next generation. You know, it's like you borrow something from a person, you borrow an appliance, you borrow a tool. You want to return that item that you borrowed in exactly the same condition that you borrowed it, or in a better condition, if possible, right? You rent someone's flat, a friend lends you their flat. You want to leave the place better, the same or better than you left it. Preferably better, but if not, then at least the same. You don't want to leave that flat or that tool or that car that you borrowed, whatever you borrowed. You don't want to leave it in a condition that's worse. I mean, imagine borrowing your friend's car and send it back to him all scratched up and dented up with tires worn out, maybe one tire flat. What would your friend think? That would be a terrible thing to do. That would be such an unethical thing to do. Now, in the same way, what this Native American saying is telling us, that this earth is borrowed from the next generation. And what we need to do as the stewards of it right now, as the trustees of it right now, it's entrusted to us, we need to take care of it. We need to look after it. And then when the time comes to hand it over to the next generation, we have to make sure that we are handing it over in a better condition than we received it from the previous generation. Or at the very least, if you can't even do that, then at least hand it to them in the exact same condition that you received it. Now, this is incredible Native American wisdom. They were such wise people. It's pity they were portrayed so negatively in the media, in the movies and things, as wild savages. But these were really wise people. And they believed in the same thing that so many cultures around the world believed in, that we are responsible for this earth, and every move that we make, every action that we take, responsible or irresponsible, has downstream effects. It has a snowball effect. So if we plant a tree today, somewhere in your yard, in a park somewhere, you plant a tree, maybe you won't be around to enjoy that tree. Maybe you won't be around to enjoy the shade of that tree or the fruit of that tree. But what you are doing is, just by planting that tree, you are making the world a better place for the next generation. Do we think about it like that? You know, I have, when I'm driving to work in the mornings, there's this road that I have to pass that is, as I'm driving, it's the road is positioned east-west, right? Exactly east-west. So as I'm driving in the mornings, the sun is actually in front of me. But I don't get really affected by the sun because there are about three or four very tall trees in the way. And for a very long time, I used to think it's actually quite a coincidence that those trees are there, so that all those people who are driving up that road don't get blinded by the rising sun. You know, especially in the mornings, there's a school in the area. There's parents coming to drop off their kids, going back home, people going to work like myself. So for the longest time, I thought that was quite a coincidence. And then one day I realized, when I looked at the trees, how they were positioned, I realized this was no coincidence. These are not trees that just pitched up on their own, that just suddenly, you know, the seeds somehow miraculously landed there and took root. Really, what happened was that somebody had planted these trees. And they planted it for that one reason, to provide shade on that road to drivers and people and pedestrians walking or driving up that road. Incredible. And then I suddenly started to have this admiration for people who I never met, people who are probably not on this earth anymore, but just because of that legacy that they left, those trees that are providing that shade. Now, in the same way, you can leave a legacy in many different ways, a legacy of knowledge, a legacy of generational wealth, a legacy of a school that you built, a university, or someone that you assisted with a bursary that went on to study and they have found success, they are looking after their families. There's literally thousands of ways that you can leave a legacy. You and I can leave a legacy. But we can also leave negative legacy, a legacy where we destroy a garden, we destroy trees, we are irresponsible with our wealth, and we leave nothing for the next generation. Now that's really bad. So this legacy is something that we all should aspire towards. And it's something that will make it so that you and I are remembered for generations to come. But not just that. It's not just about being remembered. It's about making a positive impact. It's about fulfilling our duty and our responsibility of leaving this world in a better place, in a better position than we found it. Now that's a legacy worth living for. Now, one of my favorite books is the book The Lorax by Dr. Seuss. It's a children's book, and it's something I used to read to my kids when they were growing up. And then there was subsequently a movie. I showed them the movie. It was actually quite enjoyable. And this book is such a good book in itself, but it also sends across such a poignant message. The book is about this character, in case you didn't read the book yet. If you didn't, you should read it. Go to a library, borrow it. It's an old book, but still, there's such a poignant message, such a hard-hitting message. It's about this character called the Onceler. And so the Onceler is an aspiring business person, and he creates this product called the Thneed that nobody really knows what it does, but he's a sharp and a shrewd businessman, and he starts marketing this Thneed to people, and he makes up uses for it for them. And although he struggles initially, but eventually, yeah, he clicks and his Thneed starts selling like crazy. Now, the trouble with the Thneed is that to make it, he needed the leaves of the truffula trees, this certain type of tree that was growing in that area. And so because his business was growing, his empire was growing, wherever he could get hold of these truffula trees, he chopped them down, he harvested the leaves, and he made his needs. Eventually, he had this massive industry going, and he was chopping down these trees by the tens of thousands. Now, seeing this, the Lorax warned him that if you keep this up, you're going to harm the entire world. You're going to harm the entire environment of the planet. But this guy, being young and stupid, and the Onceler, being young and stupid and ambitious, he decided that he's not going to listen to anyone and he's going to keep going. Eventually, he did what we say, what most of us will call shooting yourself in the foot, because he had wiped out all the truffula trees, and his business ground to a halt because there was no more truffula trees and hence no more raw materials to make his products, and his business suffered as a result. But not just that, the whole planet suffered. It's quite a sad story, but there is a message in there. And the message is this: when you look at capitalist societies today, in this last 100 years of capitalism, the amount of damage that was done to this planet is unprecedented. For tens of thousands of years before this, human beings have inhabited this earth, but we've never caused so much of damage to the planet as we did in this past 100 years. In just a blink of an eye, comparative to the time period in which humans have been on this planet, we've caused irreparable damage. Do you realize that? We've damaged the environment, we've damaged the oceans, there's global warming, we are deforesting the world at an incredible rate. Species are going extinct, never to come back into this planet. Lots of species we will never see again on this planet. It just goes on and on and on. Now, this is what we call leaving a negative legacy. That's what I was talking about, leaving a negative legacy. Now, what we've done is we've created a problem for the next generation and the generation after them. Why? Because they are inheriting a damaged earth. They are inheriting an earth where the air is polluted, the water is polluted, the globe is warming. And in a manner of saying, we are actually telling ourselves that it's not our problem, it's their problem. We'll make the most of it now. We'll have our fun. We will enjoy it. And very soon we're going to be out of the picture. We're going to leave this world. Ha, it's someone else's problem. Let them deal with it. Now, is that something fair to do? Is that something fair to say? Do we realize that every action that we are taking now is going to hurt the next generation? Do we even care about it? I think most of us realizes it. I think every capitalist out there, every person that's exploiting the environment in some way or the other, that's causing damage through their businesses or through their greed, I think they know the damage that they are doing. I think they realize the damage they are doing. Those people who are spilling oil into the ocean and killing tens of thousands of different marine life, I think they know exactly what they are doing. But the problem is not caring about it. The problem is that with modern capitalism, it's all about me. It's all about how I can benefit, not anyone else. And that's why, I mean, the environment is one thing, but if you look at the exploitation of human beings, if you look at how people in Africa, for example, in the mines in the Congo, how people are being exploited, they're working as slaves, or they're being paid a pittance to mine out precious minerals that will go into the lithium ion batteries that are going into our phones and our cars. And we think to ourselves, well, you know, we're doing such a good thing. I'm driving a electric powered car or a hybrid car. I'm doing such great things for the environment. But we don't realize the amount of exploitation that's going on just to get those minerals, to manufacture those batteries. But it comes back to the same old theme. It's all about me, how I can benefit, and how I can benefit now from this. How can I maximize on the amount of wealth that I gather? And how do I hoard that wealth? Now, this attitude has caused so much of damage. It's caused so much of damage. And just like the onceler, we are constantly shooting ourselves in the foot. It's just a matter of time before the world, the planet, hits back. And look, it's already hitting back, right? We are seeing more natural disasters now, more erratic weather patterns now than ever before. And it all started with this negative thinking about what is good for me and what is good for me now, rather than thinking about the legacy that we are going to leave. Had we thought about that, we would not have caused so much of damage to this planet and to its environment. Now, I used to be a lecturer at a university, at a number of universities, and I really enjoyed myself lecturing. And somewhere along the way, I had this crazy idea of starting my own business. Now, sometimes when things get really tough in my business, I often think to myself that I wish I had just stuck with lecturing. I could have gotten my PhD and worked my way up, maybe worked my way overseas, work in some prestigious university somewhere in the world, in some other country, author some amazing books, and made a legacy for myself in that way. But then I remind myself why I got into this business. The reason I got into this business was two. One was for myself, and the other was for the next generation, for my boys. And the reason for myself is that I wanted a certain lifestyle. And that lifestyle was a lifestyle of freedom, where I could work whenever I wanted, wherever I wanted, and to do something that gave me happiness and fulfillment, to see people benefiting from something that I am doing. And of course, to build wealth, to build unlimited wealth. Now, nobody became wealthy as a lecturer on a lecturer's salary. Nobody became wealthy by working for someone else. Wealth comes, as far as I know, from business. I mean, you can disagree with me, But that's what I know. Wealth comes from business. So yes, I wanted to build wealth. And I also wanted that lifestyle. And I knew only one way to do it, which was through business. But there was the other reason. The other reason was my boys. I wanted to leave something for them. I couldn't leave my lecturer's salary for them, obviously. Maybe I would, if I was lucky, I could save some money and leave a little nest egg for them or leave a property for them. But that was it. So I knew at that time, as young as I was, I realized that my going down this trajectory is not going to be doing the next generation any favors. It's not me planting a tree, metaphorically speaking, that the next generation will benefit from. And so I decided to start this business, IT Varsity. And it has been a struggle. I mean, I'm not a business person at heart. I'm an academic at heart, although I'm from a family of business people, although I grew up in my family businesses. But really, if you had to, you know, when I did self-assessment, when I really reflect on who and what I really am, I'm an academic. So business was a bit tough, and it took a long time to get where I am. But when I look back, I realize it has been totally worth it. And I am now in a position where I can leave something for the next generation. I have created generational wealth. I've planted a tree that I'm enjoying some of the fruits, but I'm quite certain that my sons, after I'm gone from this world, are going to take this business to levels that I never imagined. And their children are going to take it beyond. And they are going to build on this. And they're going to enjoy fruits of this business that I won't even be around to enjoy. Now, that's the beauty about the beauty of getting into business. And so my sons are happy. I'm happy. And what was an added bonus for me was that I'm not just going to leave it for them. It's not just me building it for them. They all decided to join me in the business. And that was incredible. You see, what happened with my sons was that as soon as they left school, I gave them a choice. You could go to university, you could get a degree, you could go get a job, work your way up the corporate ladder. But in that case, you would be on your own, right? You start a new job, you start building up from there. And then the generation that comes after you is going to find a new job and start building up from zero again. I mean, you can't inherit somebody's job. If I'm a lecturer, I can't say to the university, okay, I'm retiring. My son is now a PhD. He's going to take over from me. It doesn't work like that. You can't inherit a job. So my son cannot build on the job that I possibly had. So I that's what I said to my son. So you'll be working for somebody. You'll be earning a salary. You'll earn enough maybe to buy a house, maybe to put some away, maybe retire someday. Do you want that? That's a good life. It's not a bad life. No doubt. I'm not running that down. It's a good life to have. You go to work, you do your thing, you come out, you get your salary of the month, you get your raise, you get your pay hikes, you save something, you spend some, enjoy your holidays. Nothing wrong with that. But I ask them, is that the life you want? Or you take the legacy that I'm building and you build it on top of that. So instead of building from ground floor, I'll take it maybe up to the third floor. You take it from there, from third floor upwards. And the next generation will build from the 10th floor upwards because you've built it from the third to the 10th floor. And then the generation after that will take it further and further and further. Maybe not in the same business, but the wealth will carry over. Maybe at some stage my boys will decide, hey, let's sell this business. They get a terrific offer, they sell the business, they take that wealth, they invest it, they leave it for the next generation, and that generation inherits it, and then they grow it, and then they leave it for the next generation. That is what I wanted. And so when I started thinking these negative thoughts about, hey man, it would be so easy if I were a lecturer. No, I remind myself about this picture that I had in my head, about building this generational wealth, about planting this tree that generations of my family after me are going to enjoy. I mean, think about it, right? Many of us, we sit around sometimes and we think, how nice if there was this rich ancestor who left some wealth for us. I want to be that rich ancestor for the generations that are to come after me. I want to leave them something so that they look back one day and they say, well, our great grandfather built up this amazing business, and thanks to him today, we are enjoying this wealth. These trust funds that we have, this wealth that we have, is enabling us to do such great work. I want to be that person. I always wanted to be that person. And now that I've built this business with my boys, I'm happy. So coming back to my boys, I made them this offer. I said, you can go and choose a life where you are working for someone and start off from scratch. Nothing wrong with that. Or you can join me in the business where we can work together and grow it. And so they all decided, as they exited school, they all decided to join me in the business. I did warn them though. I did warn my sons that family business is not easy. Family business has its own challenges, right? Working with your sons is not like working with employees. It's different. And working for your father is not like working for a normal boss. It's a lot more challenging. And I'm not the easiest person to work with. So I warned them about this downside. But I also told them in the same breath that we can make it work. We can find a formula that will make it work for all of us. Now, I spoke about planting trees. And planting trees is in itself a way of creating a positive legacy, but it's also a metaphor for so many other things we can do. And that long-term thinking, that ability to put away something good for right now for something better later on, is the formula for success. And a good example is something I came across not long ago. It's actually quite remarkable. It said that in this article that in 2008, the iPhone was released at $599. Had you invested in Apple shares rather than buying an iPhone to that value of $599, today, those shares would have been worth just under $5,000, which is not money that's going to make you rich. But let me ask you this. Is your iPhone that you bought in 2008 worth $5,000 today? No, it's not. So the wise person might have said, well, let me invest some money and I will wait it out until that money is worth something and then pull it out. Or maybe just leave it there as a legacy for later on in my life when I get old or for the next generations. So remember that.